Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Super excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We have recently added a quarterly membership, which we're super excited about. Kind of lets you maybe jump in preseason or during the summer or something like that. So that's going to be for a limited time only. So if you're thinking of joining that or joining teachhoops.com, which allows us to keep the lights on here, and all our podcasts, come over and join us. Also, go over and check out Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Mention Coach Unplugged, mention me, mention Teach Hoops, mention anything, hopefully, and they'll take really good care of you and give you $350 off your next purchase, which I think is awesome and rocks. And all right, let's head off the podcast. So have you started thinking about next season?
Yeah, so let's go through that. So I have about 12 guys that are like, they just don't miss. And they're mostly the JV guys. I have two of my solid varsity starters have been coming out with us now. So yeah, I have, and we've been working on fundamentals, a lot of fundamentals, but we've also started implementing what I really want to do next year with this group. I think you've seen kind of what my team looks like. I really want to press all the time. I think we need to turn over the ball because our half court offense, it's okay. That's going to be a work in progress, but our problem is putting ball in the hoop. I realized that. I felt that they could do that better and they could. And so I think we need to turn people over a little bit more. So I really want to do more.
Your defense has to create offense is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Okay. That's the thing. I really do.
And why is that?
Because most of my kids, I would say 90% of my kids are rec ball players, street ball players who just, we have to teach kids how to shoot, coach. I have long kids who we have to teach them how to shoot, or we have to teach them to get in triple threat. We have to teach them to be patient. I mean, fundamentals, just how to hold the ball. I mean, I was telling my assistant yesterday that you don't hand out gear until you guys do that ladder. And he just looked at me like, oh my God, that would take us forever to do that. So, and you only practice what in the summer and in the winter?
Well, yeah, we only get 5 contact days in the summer. And then when school starts, I can't do anything until the first day of.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that.
That's why I do podcasts and this stuff. And it's like, can't do anything with my team.
No, but I don't know how you can get them to do that ladder so fast. It just, He was giving me an example. He said, Coach, we had a really good, he went to a different high school. He goes, we had a really good team, but there was a kid who would never be able to do that on our
right.
team.
Right. So here's a thing with conditioning is the same kids are going to win every conditioning drill.
Yeah.
So when we do ladders and we do things, we put the faster kids behind the slower kids. We try to make the sprint even. So if we're doing like a ladder, you know, like free throw line back, half court back, free throw line back, we'll start the slower kids. They'll start going to half court. They won't even have to do the free throw line back because we try to balance it out and make it fair and more competitive.
Well, because the way I had the ladder was you got 5 seconds, they make it one way.
Yep, yep. So, but 15. Then the slower kids will start at the free throw line. They won't start at the end line. They got 5 seconds to make it.
Oh, you give them a little edge so that the team can,
because everyone in the world knows who the fastest kids are, and everyone in the world knows who the two slowest kids are. The slowest kids could go as fast as they humanly can.
They will never make it.
And they'll never make it. So what's right. the point? So I do some sprint timing initially to get some base in tryouts. Like, yeah. Okay, you're going to run from here to here as fast as you can. And I figure out who the fastest kids are. And then I have them do like end line, free throw line back and time it. Yes. And I want to figure it out. And then the kids that are slower, it's like some kids are taller than other kids. It's just, I mean, I'm trying to make it fair and competitive. Otherwise, it's why do the drill? Because the same kids are always going to, the fastest kids cannot go 70% and still make it. And the fat slowest kids can go 100% and never make it. Right. That doesn't do anything for your team, right? You want everyone kind of at the same level. So it's more competitive.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do that. But yeah, let me go over a couple things that I had to get through, because otherwise I could be here for hours and you don't have hours to talk to me. So, okay. So right now, the thing I'm doing, there's two things that I really want to get through today with you is scheduling, because coaches get fired based on scheduling. And I don't like.
Okay, hold on. Whoa. What do you mean people get fired on schedule?
I'm just making that up. No, my admin loves me. No, I'm just saying. But
no. But why? Because they're too easy or too hard.
Right. Right. So people, like, you see coaches who they'll make their schedule too hard, and then they lose all their games, and that doesn't look good.
Or they'll make it too easy. They'll win all their games, and then they'll get killed in tournament.
Right. So I want to have a good schedule that's solid. And okay. So I just want to let you know what I'm doing and see if you agree.
Okay.
I think I went through this with you last year, but just kind of a review right now, because we're still in the same division. We didn't drop. We didn't go up or down.
Right. And you found out how they seed, right? We had that talk about how they kind of, it's almost better to lose a close one to a team above than
to play a horrible team. If you play a horrible team that has a horrible record, you're getting nothing for that win. Basically, it's better to lose to a really good team who's got a great record. That adds. So remember, it's three things. Wins and losses are the number one thing. Second is strength of schedule, which you're playing. Are you playing a good team or a bad team? And then the third thing, which they never changed, despite my arguments to the whole conference in a Zoom meeting, I spoke from my heart, 20-point game, nobody gives a crap. They're fine with that. No one cares. So anyways, you know,
the more you win by, the more points you get.
Yeah. You win by over 20. You beat a team by over 20. You get more points on your ranking. It's the macho coach.
20 is too much. It should be like 15 or 10 or something like that.
But that's the way it is. Well, there's five divisions. We're in division 4, which is one of the lower divisions. So division five is the lowest. We're in division 4. And there's division 3, 2, 1. Okay, so here's what I've got.
Who's in one? Like schools of 3,000?
Yeah, or just pretty. Okay, let me give you the top five. Out of the top five, one's a public school.
Okay.
The other ones are Cathedral Catholic, Santa Fe Christian, St. Augustine, Modern Day Catholic. Hello.
Okay.
Or they're gigantic schools. Okay. So our school, like I said, is relatively small. So here's what I'm doing. I'm taking the group. There's 23 schools in our division, 16 make playoffs. I'm scheduling games basically to help our strength of schedule and also to get some wins. I'm basically taking I've got 10 games accounted for. I'm shooting there. We could play 28 games, but I'm shooting for about 25 because we're not starting till pretty much the first week of December. Other schools start earlier, but I'm going to give ourselves at least a 4-week period before we start.
Right.
Okay. So I'm scheduled. So 10 games of those 25 that I'm shooting for are counted for. So I have 15 games to schedule.
Yeah. Because they're conference games. Those 10s are counted for because they're conference games.
Yes.
Okay.
So I have, like I said, 15 games to schedule. I'll five games are already accounted for, 3 from a tournament. And so then we're down to 12, 2 from one of the higher level teams from our division asked to play us. I said, that's fine. That won't hurt us. Win or lose, that won't hurt us. And I'm having them come to our place. I think we could beat them. And then another game from one of the lower divisions, like he's near the bottom of our division. I think okay. We could beat him at home. Okay. So I'm down to 12 games. So what I'm going to do for the last 12 games, what I was thinking is I'm going to go 4 from the bottom third, 4 from the middle third, and 4 from the upper third of our division. In fact, actually, no, I was going to even do something.
You mean you're going to play 4 in division 3, 4 in division 4, and 4 in division 5?
No, my bad. I was going to do 4 from our, here, I don't know if you can see this. This is division 4.
Okay.
And see where the cutoff lines are?
Yeah.
That's the bottom third.
So you're going to stay only in division 4. You're not going to play any division 3s?
Well, their division 3s we already have packed into my conference. I've already got 6 games just from my conference are going to be division 3.
Okay. Okay. And what and are other the tournament people
and the tournament that we're playing in, we're probably going to play at least one division 3.
Okay. And what about division 5s?
See, so division 5, I have no one right now. So I'm thinking, you're right. I need to get some, I'm thinking of scheduling about, okay, so remember I have 12 games that are 10 games that are unaccounted for right now, right? Because 15, then 5 that are already spoken for because of the tournament and 2 games that are, so I have, what I say, 10 games that are unaccounted for. So I have 10 games to schedule right now. So I was thinking, so 10 games, we've got 10 games to work with. I was thinking of getting 3 or 4 division 5 games and the other 6 games doing 2 from the lower portion of the division 4 bracket, 2 from the middle portion of the division 4 bracket, and maybe 2 more from the higher division of the higher portion of the division 4
bracket. Yeah, I'd get another D3 and I'd get maybe like 2 division 5s.
Talk to me. You wouldn't do 4 division 5s? Too much?
I think you're going to be good, aren't you?
I don't know, coach. My problem right now, like me and my assistant coach talked about, when we look at our roster at the beginning of the year, we're like, oh, we're going to be really good. And then grades come out. That was
maybe, the problem. Maybe you go 3-3-5-2.
Okay, I've got 10 games of schedule.
3 in division 4 in division 4, 2 in division 3.
Okay, I'm sorry. 3 in division what?
So 3 in division 5.
Okay.
5 in division 4.
Okay.
And then 2 in division 3. So you pick, so I think you can pick low division 3 schools. You know what I'm saying? If they'll play you.
Oh yeah, they will.
So you maybe pick in the division 4, I said 5, you pick one low one, 2 in the middle, 2 in the top, and then you go find the bottom D3 ones because that will still help you because you're playing up a division.
As long as they're good.
Yeah,
even as long as they're good. Higher division, if they're bad, that doesn't help.
That doesn't help.
But usually the reason it ends up helping is because Division III schools will want to play up a little. And so they'll be playing better schools. So, you know, it just trickles down. It kind of works out in general. But you were saying the 5 in Division IV, how should I choose those? What were you saying about
that? 1-2-2.
One from the higher?
One in the bottom, 2 in the middle, 2 in the top.
Oh, you're going higher. Okay. You're challenging me. Okay.
I am.
Okay.
Cause then you got one there, but then you got three down here in division 5 that are kind of, and I'd spread those out. I'd spread those D5 ones out. Really? Where you put them on their schedules is important as picking them.
Really?
Well, you don't want to put them close to each other. You want them sprinkled in, like you know, so gotcha. Where you put the when you play people is as important as who you play.
Well, I was thinking, well, for Division Five, I definitely believe that for the higher teams, but for Division Fives, I was just going to say, let's just start off with some solid wins.
You want to play a Division Five after you play a Division Three.
Ah, got you.
You know what I'm saying? Because then you can build confidence back. You got to think of a teenager's ego is fragile enough. So you need to build them back up after a difficult one. And if you played really well and won the difficult one, that D5 school is not going to know what hit them. It's not going to matter. So, but I'm just saying, I think you don't want to play two D5s and then a low D4 in order. You want to sprinkle the softies.
Got it. Okay.
Out. And then, and hopefully between after a hard one, you got an easier one.
Okay.
So how you put them on the schedule is as important as.
So since I don't have my conference schedule exactly, I don't know when my buys in, then I need to wait.
You do. And that sucks. You need that because that's what I do. I go, because we all know who's going to be hard in our conference, right? So it's like hard conference game. Ooh, I'll put an easier non-conference there. And then the math person in me, but I try to sprinkle those. Like, I don't want six hard games in a row because they're just going to be mentally and physically beat up. So, you know, and then I'll like next year we're going to be young. I'm not even going on the road next year. I'm playing all my non-conferences at home. We only have four. So I'm going to play them at home and I got them sprinkled out like a couple before the season starts. One here in Christmas, one over here, you know, I'm trying to sprinkle them out. So it's like, because conference play is so much different than non-conference play. There is definitely a science to doing your schedule.
Oh yeah. Well, you're teaching me right now. Okay. I think I do need to spread those out. Okay. Let me think of one more thing on
which
here.
Becomes a very, from a math teacher, becomes a difficult matrix because you got to find a date that works for them. And then you got to figure out whether it's home or away. And then you got to figure out if their girls are playing at home or not at home and is wrestling. And it's like all this, it's a more difficult matrix than you think, especially with all those non-conference games.
Okay. So if right now on a 25, I mean, I could play up to 28, but I said, I'm kind of targeting 25, maybe 24 games. And right now, if I have,
that's a lot of games. I mean, I play 22. Yeah, I play 22. And I have a hard enough time getting them in. Because it takes a whole week to get ready for an opponent. So if I'm playing you on Friday,
I gotta
have a week. Now, I might play a game in between playing you, but I'm already prepping for you the week out.
Yeah.
Like, if you know anything about learning, it takes them a week. A week. So if you're playing three or four games in a week, you don't have time to teach them.
No. I was planning on two a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Two. Then you want space in between.
Yeah. Like Tuesday, Friday.
Those are good. Yep.
Yeah. So here's my, no, I'm listening loud, clearly. So if I have in a 25 games, if in my 25 games, I have already six in my conference, plus seven, you're adding two more. You're taking me up to nine Division III games out of my 25. You think I should push that because of strength of schedule?
Into that, challenge. Again, it should be spread out, but yes.
Okay. And so, and you said that if I choose those last couple Division IIIs to add into my schedule, try to pick the lower level ones.
I'd pick smaller ones. I want to pick the biggest D3 school. I'd pick a smaller D3 school.
I see who I'm going to pick.
And then it's also a, you know, mental thing for the guys. Like, I believe in you. We're playing D3 schools. Let's go, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
This is like picking your team, picking your staff, and doing your schedule are probably the three most important things for the season.
The staff is nice. The team, if we can get people to get grades, we could be good. As long as our grades are good.
How do you track grades during the year?
It's a problem at our school because the teachers don't put in the grades, and some of them don't put in the grades till it's too late.
We do Tuesday reports. Every Tuesday they have to take around a sheet and have the teacher sign what their grade is and what they're doing and if they're missing anything. Every Tuesday. We call them Tuesday reports.
Can I is that too much to ask of the teachers?
I don't think so. I'm a teacher. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be help. I want them to do their work.
Okay, so Tuesday reports, I'm gonna start doing that. And
yeah, I'll send you our template. Okay. And all they got to do is say whether they're passing or failing and if they're missing anything. And then they have to bring it to me at the Tuesday at the beginning. They don't start practice until I get it. And then it's a starting discussion point.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Personally, what you should do is probably send something out to the teachers at the beginning of basketball season. Say, hey, I'm doing this. Here's what I want. You know, if you can take 30 seconds, blah, blah, blah.
I hope I don't get any.
Yeah, I would talk to your AD first.
I hope I don't get any pushback on that. But
why would you get pushback from teachers that tell what their grades are?
I just don't know how the union rules are around here.
Well, no, I get it. Then I would definitely talk to your AD about it. But I'm surprised they don't do something like that for the school.
No comment. No comment.
Okay. Enough said.
We'll see how that works. But anyways, I just don't know. I just don't know. That's the truth. Okay. So I gotta.
Do you have a way to see their grades?
I could, but again, what I'm trying to tell you is, so we tried the tracking thing, right?
Okay.
But what happens is right when you think this kid is doing well, all these grades come in because the teacher's hat aren't caught up. And then right when it's time to turn in the grades, you find out their kids are failing.
Right. I'm like, and they haven't turned it in. Right.
What happened?
Right.
What happened? So I asked the prior coach that wasn't at my school with the same situation. I said, James, that's a problem here at this school.
Yeah. That's systemic.
But our school is a high performing school. So
right.
It is considered a high performing school. Right, in terms of what our school is, a solid school. We have great teachers, great education system. But the problem, what I think is, if I do what you're saying, that may be a game changer, because then I'm getting it real. What is it?
You're getting real time, like week to week. Yes. And if you get approval to do it, what I would say to the teachers in the email is I'm trying to help you. Like, I want to be your advocate. Let me help you get them to turn stuff in and do things. I want to help you. Like, so if they're not doing it, then they're going to sit, or you're not going to start them, or you're not going to like, so there'll be a consequence. And then if the teachers know there's a consequence, well, shoot, I'll fill that out. So Johnny turns his stuff in, you know.
But what I need to do is I need to start this starting August 30th. So what do I say to the kids who are not doing their work? Hey, you.
Right. You gotta almost put them on it right now. I know, from the beginning of the school year.
And so here's the question. Then what's my carrot and my stick? My carrot is that we're playing games. We're scrimmaging.
Yep.
And we're having some practices a couple times a week. What do I say? Okay, your grades are not good.
Making the team, playing on the team. If you're not passing anything, I'm not keeping you. How can I keep you if you're failing everything? You're failing five classes. I can't keep you.
So would you send him home from practice that week, or not let him practice in the off season? What would you do?
Well, I definitely wouldn't let him come to open gyms and do fun stuff if they're not passing.
Well, okay. No scrimmages. Scrimmages are what's fun for them. They love.
Yeah, you don't get the scrimmage.
And you, how about practice?
I mean, I mean, if it's really bad, I'm sending him home because you're not going to play anyway because you're not passing. So go home and get passing, and then we can talk about being a basketball player.
Okay. I need a couple. One more. Here's the other thing. I'm going to give you some feedback on some stuff. This may be too long for our session today. I just don't know how much time you have. But I got feedback from my seniors on their exit interview. What did you like about the program? What didn't you like? And here are some of the things that they didn't like. One player said, "Coach, you need to make sure that everybody's ready to start practice on time." Remember I told you about, these kids were great. We started practice on time, but we had kids showing up because they would go to the trainer. Remember that?
No trainer.
The BS of the trainer. Like, oh, I got to go get my ankles. I need to go see it. I'm like, dude, practice is starting now. So
I would talk to the trainer and I would say, no one comes to you. And then I would say, everyone has to come to me first. And I will do the first diagnosis about whether you need to go to the trainer. But you need to be at practice at 4 o'clock, ready to go. You know, ankle braces on. You don't need to get taped, blah, 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 blah. And if you need to go to the trainer, then we need to talk about it. Also, if you go to the trainer, it's like being late for practice or missing practice. There's a consequence. You're hurt, so that shouldn't bother you. I mean, if you're hurt, you can't play, so it's fine. If you got to go to the trainer, you got to go to the trainer. I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor.
You're not practicing since you're hurt. No,
and then if you are, you're late for practice. So if you're a starter, you're not starting. If you're a seventh man, now you're the ninth man.
Okay.
They'll get healthy very quick.
You know what? Let me tell you, I went to a party last night with a bunch of coaches, and there was a birthday party for one of our, and we have a nice little group of coaches here that we get along very well. We're talking, we're like, the guy's birthday. He goes, you know that our buddy here? He goes, his school's got 3,000 kids. Our school's got 1,500 kids. He can pick and choose who he wants. He can have that. Well, you know, but us, we can't do that. Like when we say tryouts are this day, we're still accepting people 2 weeks later because we don't have enough bodies. We don't cut anybody. So do you get where the discipline part for me is hard, coach? I just don't have that many bodies. But anyways, let's continue.
I know, but you're trying to make them better young men, and you have to, like, kids need to know their bedtimes at 9 p.m.
Yes.
Like, they need they need rituals, and it makes them feel there's a warmth and the world makes sense when they have that. When they don't have that, it doesn't make as much sense. I'm not a rule guy either, but like, you can't take the test if you haven't taken the class yet. That doesn't make sense. Yeah. So if you can't come to practice, you need to be in the training room, you can't play.
Yeah, no, this was great. And I knew that was coming. Remember I mentioned that to you early. I said, I've got guys that are just showing up late to practice because they're at the trainer. I'm like, what the heck? Okay, so the kids did not like that. They wanted us to play more games. I'm like, that was COVID. We got 17 games in COVID season. Come on.
Yeah.
They wanted more games. They wanted to play. The same guy that said that to me missed half the season because he was ineligible. I'm like, really? Come on. This was funny. The same guy, but this I'm going to take seriously. The same guy that said this also said, the same guy that missed half the season because he was ineligible, or a third of the season because he was ineligible, said, "Coach, our practices need to be more disciplined. The kids, there's too much like little background talking or goofing around. We need to run more." So I think I need help with my classroom management.
What he's saying is there shouldn't be any dead time. Like, this should be in and out, precise, nobody standing. Yeah. Writing a good practice is as hard as writing a good lesson plan. It is very, very hard. But it needs to be precise. It needs to be quick. It needs to be one thing from the next. It needs to be, I'm done with this. We're already on to the next thing. You know, if you got 12 kids there, everyone's doing something. So there's no idle.
You know, coach, but at the same time, if I could show this to you on my phone, the same guy said, we need to spend more time on the drills because he thought we were going too fast. I'm like,
I hear you, but precise is better than extended, in my opinion.
I'm with you, but yeah. Here's the thing, Coach. What I need help with is classroom management, because okay. I see what he's talking about, and I admit it. Let me give you an example. What do you do? I have a practice on Thursday. I've got 11 out of the 12 guys listening. One of my returning varsity players, little goofing off, little, I'm like, they don't like when I make them do the weave five passes. He's like, no, let's go three passes now. Like, he's starting to want to, I'm like, no, we're going five passes. You can't even do five passes. And then he's got a little goofing off here. What? And I'm just like trying to be patient. At one point I stopped practice and I said, you know what? The goofing off stops now. You goof off again, you're going home. I said that to the whole team. The practice got a lot better. Right. But I feel like I'm...
You got
to
get him engaged and involved in what you're doing. So he's got to be your demonstrator. You got to call on him. You got to call on all of them. You got to... Because idle mind is basically is what's happening in there.
Yes.
So it's like whenever you do, let's say you're doing a two-on-two drill, he's got the ball and he's doing it. That way he won't be... It's hard to goof off when you're the center of attention. You know what I mean? So I would try to get him involved as much as you can. And then it's just like a classroom. You gotta try to draw out on them. Like, you know, all right, here we go. We're doing two-man weave. Let's go. Ready, break. And they go. And you're calling on them and saying, okay, what are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. And they call on them. And that's how, you know, what's the three things we need to do in this drill? John, go ahead. Blah, blah, blah. So they're paying attention because they know they might get called on. Just like in a classroom, you want them to be attentive and engaged with what you're doing. It's harder in some respects, but that will keep them from goofing off. Proximity also works. I'd be really close to him when I'm doing anything if he's not in the drill. It's harder for him to goof off if he's 2 inches from my shoulder than if he's halfway across the gym.
So what I'm listening to you here saying is it's not
classroom management. Yeah.
It's classroom management, but it's not about being punitive. It's about outsmarting, but
I don't want to be punitive. Punitive doesn't work. I mean, it works. You got to discipline. You always have to discipline at some point, but I mean, I don't want to be that when I don't have to be. I'd rather be proactive than reactive. And when you're reacting, it's like the kid, you know, I'm going to tell my son, you know, make good decisions. Don't go out drinking tonight, blah, blah, blah. That's being proactive. Reactive is he comes home drunk and then I got to punish him. I don't want to do that because he doesn't learn that way. I'm planting this, hopefully talking about it before it happens.
Is this what I only started like the first few pages?
Oh God, that book is thick. Yes, that book will help a lot. Yes. Okay. That book will tell you that if you're playing a team on Friday, you got to start prepping for them a week ahead of time.
Okay.
Which to be honest with you, I've always prepped a couple days ahead.
That's what I do.
It's not enough though. It's not enough for them to learn. And it talks about reps. It's like, it's reps. Kids need reps. Yeah.
Does it also talk about classroom management?
It does. It talks about a little bit about everything.
Okay. All right. Well, I've taken a huge amount of your time. Send me
the link. You should tape a practice and let me watch it.
These are off season, but I'll send it to you. You want to see my off season practice?
I'd love to see it because then I can tell you what I think. Yeah, I can do that for sure.
All right. When's a good time in 3 weeks? I know you're super busy. Tell me.
No, it's not bad. It's just, you just got to like, Sundays tend to be the best days. So just reach out at the end of the week and say, hey, you're free. And then we can find a time. Tends to be my least busy.
I'm gonna start using my text since you like texting.
I'll text you. Text me. That's easy. Trust me. I mean, I got my 3-year-old, 8-year-old, 12-year-old niece and nephew in the house, 2 dogs and my kids. So it's like chaos right now. So you know.
Okay. Well, send me the link on the lifetime membership.
Oh, I'll send it to you. All right. See ya. Bye. Okay. Bye. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. That was a great one. Make sure you subscribe and like wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, or whatever, and go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day. Sports
Social Podcast Network.